Hey, it's a holiday special for Just Because I Love You Day. We found several Christmas-related memes that we want to share with each other. How do Christians handle the Santa question? Also, let's talk about what passes for Christmas poetry when you're a feminist. Plus more. Welcome to our table.
I thought the intro was longer than it is. We had lots of music bumping on the other side of it today. We're live, by the way. But Caden has an important thing to say about a squirrel.
No, Caden is very.
Snack.
He's very hungry.
Oh, he's hungry.
Everyone's eating pouches. Caden, what do you
need?
Need
a hungry snack.
A pouchy.
How did you get that?
I don't even know if all of this is coming through.
She's always feeding everyone.
I don't know if this is being picked up on the mics because I only have one ear on my earphone.
Then I should be.
Yeah.
Do you have Ritz crackers? The circle crackers?
Only the peanut butter ones, which Caden can't have.
Caden's allergic to everything good in life.
No, he can have cheese.
Oh, that's true.
I think a dairy allergy would be much. Although we eat a lot of peanut butter. So.
Yeah, I don't know. Lactose intolerance is sort of a weaker allergy, I think.
Sorry. Oh, it can be.
Sorry
really.
To all you lactose people.
It can be debilitating. There are a lot of people, like gluten, there are a lot of people who do it for fad. They're like, oh, I'm lactose intolerant. And they just mean that it constipates them. And it's like, yeah, that's what everybody has happened.
No, I knew a girl that was, she was lactose intolerant, but like every once in a while she'd just be like, I can't take it anymore. And then she'd like eat mac and cheese and then she'd like fart.
No, that's not what it, that's not actually a true allergy. Some people really do.
It's not pleasant.
No, but there are people who really can't have lactose because they are actually actively allergic to it. So, not just unpleasantly reactive to it. Anyway.
Like I am to epidural.
You missed it. We don't actually know if you are, we don't know if you're allergic to an epidural. That might just be your stress response. You might get hives no matter what happens.
It might be. And I am prepared for that. But I also think I'm pretty allergic to fentanyl.
Well, we'll test.
And
we'll
and
test it by doing a no drugs.
No drugs and see. Well, that's what I was trying to explain. Long story short, Carla, I've had like 10 different doctors this pregnancy. Also haven't seen a doctor much this pregnancy. So like every week I've seen somebody new.
Yeah.
And I was explaining that I wanted to do this all natural. All natural.
All natural. You sound like a hick trying to speak French.
I don't know why that.
All natural.
Like au gratin. Au gratin.
Which is also supposed to be French.
French.
And also
potatoes.
Not well pronounced by a lot of us.
And I was like, well, I'm going to do this without an epidural there. And every time I've done that, they all basically faint and fall over. And then they're like, you don't have to. And I'm like, it's more of a science experiment than anything else. We're going to see if I die.
Yes. So anyway, welcome to our table. This is Just Because I Love You Day. We are down one sister. There are three of us here today present.
We've been down a sister for like 4 weeks.
We have.
Yes, because it was Marla 3 weeks ago and then Megan last week and Megan again this week, who's not here.
And hopefully me next week.
I wouldn't count on it.
I'd be 39 and a half.
We've never had a baby that early.
Did they check you today?
No, I told them I didn't want to be.
Okay.
That also baffled them, but I was like, eh.
That's happy noises in the background, listener. If you're listening, your name is Carla. We affectionately call you Carla. And you, if this is your first time and you don't know that your name is Carla, we probably also better explain that there are a lot of children here. Without Megan's three, there are what? Nine? Is that right?
Oh, eight.
Nine counting Tabby's unborn, who's by far the quietest of them all.
Very easy to deal with.
Yes. Everyone else is noisy. So don't worry. Tabby just went in there to see that it does not get worse than it currently is as far as turning into a fight.
Have we said that this episode you may want to not have your children around for?
Oh, I didn't know that was a disclaimer.
Well, we're kind of talking about Santa and stuff, right?
Oh, yeah. But actually, we're talking about like the Christian perspective on Santa.
Mm.
So if we just want to jump right into that, you know, okay. I guess
I guess I just didn't want to get any emails that so-and-so was in earshot. And
well, honestly, Carla, if you are still trying to deceive your child, then yes, I'm sorry. You're not going to get our help with that right now. So let's just, that's as much warning as you're going to get. If you don't want your child to know the truth, then A, turn it off now. And B, what is wrong with you?
Are you listening to the right podcast?
Did you have a... You had a screenshot for that, Marla, didn't you? Or like somebody just, or you just want to give the background that somebody said?
Oh,
okay, we're going to pause on this
we're
one.
We're having a major.
Okay, we got Finley taken care of. And yeah, I thought you were saying it was going to be an explicit episode, Marla. Oh. And I was like, wait,
I didn't even think
that this might be something the kids shouldn't hear. But yeah, you're talking about Santa.
Mm-hmm. I've pulled up the, it's not really a meme. It's a little public service announcement in all caps.
Yeah. Somebody's
for this
post.
Time of year.
Oh, PSAs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll read it. As my teenagers sit around the table talking about their favorite things I did with the elf when they were small, all three started mentioning by name the student in their class at school that ruined their belief in Santa and the elf by telling them their
You're
mom...
You're talking about Elf on a Shelf, right?
Well, both. Santa yeah. and the elf. Yeah,
yeah.
Elf on the Shelf. They weren't real sad face. So moms and dads, if you know your young child no longer believes or you've chosen to tell them early, please stress to them the importance of not spoiling it for those who still wish to allow their children to enjoy the magic
right.
of the season. Which the magic. I just want to say that I don't ever remember somebody telling me, like, even if that's your best argument, it's like, I don't know who told me.
We I totally don't.
Played it.
I
would
know.
Like to know. You know yours.
Uh-huh.
Who was it? Me?
No. Oh. No, no. So our parents never explicitly told us there was no Santa.
Right.
But I also don't remember there ever saying there was.
Right.
Like, we just didn't really mention or do
I'm
a lot
really
of Santa
sure.
things.
Yeah, that's a good point.
There was a couple years that we baked cookies for Santa. But I was definitely older at that point because Santa wrote thank you on a paper and it was Dad's handwriting. And I was like, Dad, geez.
And you're totally undermining everything that I would have said about my own growing up experience. This is the difference between 8 years.
Really? They told you about Santa?
No, they expressly did not ever do anything that was supposedly from Santa unless we were already old enough to be in on it. And
oh,
know
no,
that
that's what I was talking about with the cookies. Like, Dad wrote thank you, and it was Dad's handwriting. And it was, I think, mostly for Andrew's benefit because I was already way, like, I was in high school at that point.
Right, but I'm saying cookies. It's not for anyone's benefit. I'm saying if you're doing it for a kid who seriously is potentially young enough to think it's coming from Santa, you are being deceptive.
Right, you know who it was that told me for sure, because I was a lot like Cammie, where I was pretty convinced. But then again, there was still that part of me that was young, and I was like, well, maybe. And I was with Tim at Walmart, and he bought Silly String, and I don't remember why we were all buying gifts for each other. It must have been a good year. And he bought Silly String, and then on Christmas morning, it said, from Santa, and it was the same Silly String, and I was like, I knew it. I knew there was deception.
I want to know, based on that post that you just read, what is the appropriate age to say true things to your kids if some age is too early? Uh-oh. Pause.
Oh, but it still works.
Okay. So there's like a fine line between happy noises and suddenly sad noises. And I guarantee that's not the last time we're going to have to pause today, because if we're going to want to go straight through, I think we're going to have to bundle everybody up and send them outside.
Oh, no.
They want to shout.
I know.
And run.
Tackle.
And it's been so cold for the last week or so. So we've just about hit the extent of indoor play that is appropriate. And I hid all the electronics, the screens and the...
Caden was outside the other day, bundled...
Yeah.
Top to toe.
It's not like the actual getting them bundled.
He wanted to, actually.
What usually makes me want to rip my hair out is that I bundle them up, I send them outside, and 5 minutes later,
they want to come back in.
Yep. All of their stuff is off. And then they're like, I'm so cold. It's like, right, because you keep stripping naked. And then I'm
undressed.
And then I bundle you up again and say, we're staying outside. And then 5 minutes later, you're like, I want my gloves off. And it's like,
yes.
I just don't want to fight the clothing fight for the next 40 minutes.
Well, anyway, I was asking what is the age that is no longer considered, quote, early to be having a truthful conversation with your kid. And I think this also goes hand in hand with the thing that I sent to you guys, I think. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, no, I haven't sent it to you guys yet, I don't think. Mm-hmm. I sent you the poetry, oh, which yes. we'll get to. I'm not okay. talking about that yet. But this is an actual post from an actual person that I have contact with,
oh.
who I knew in real life. And this is what was said about Elf in the Shelf. We had a mishap today, and my daughter touched the elf. I didn't know this was not a, like, you're not allowed to touch the elf.
It takes away the magic, I think.
Well, you're right. I learned that this week. Okay. So, yes, there was a mishap. The little girl touched the elf. So, we wrote a sorry letter to Santa, gave the elf some cinnamon, and sang "Oh Christmas Tree" as a family to keep her from losing her power.
This sounds weirdly pagan.
Thanks, Google, for the save. So they Googled
and
what
she
to
Googled
do,
it.
What to do
Why
when
didn't she just make it up?
The daughter touches the elf, and then they sprinkled it with cinnamon and sang "Oh Christmas Tree" to keep it from losing its power.
Okay. Well, they also could have done the hokey pokey, or
and then
washer.
So this girl is 7, and then down in the comments, all the moms are complaining about how long it's been that they've had to keep this goofy thing up, and how hard it is to keep track of all of the things they've already done and to come up with new ideas. And they're like, oh, it's such a burden. It's so stressful. And it's like, guys, I don't even believe for a second that you're that stressed out by this, because you're the ones talking about how it's the magic of Christmas and that your kid's going to have this terrible childhood if you don't do this stuff. So which is it?
Both. Well,
but she's 7. So obviously 7 is not too early to tell them the truth about Santa.
I think a lot of people like using that around Christmas time as a way to get your kid to do what they're supposed to be doing. It's like, well, Santa's watching, or the elf is this, da-da-da-da.
But does that ever work? It's not like they ever wake up on Christmas and they don't have gifts, and they're like, well, I told you the elf was watching. It's like an empty threat. Most kids don't actually think the elf is watching them. I have never seen kids shape up at Christmas time.
I think when I nannied, they used that, and so I played along with it. That was years ago before I knew better, I guess. Or they weren't my kids either, so I kind of...
I don't think I've ever met a family. Well, I guess I have. But, like, when I was a nanny, they didn't do the Christmas stuff either. Like, to me, a normal childhood was a bunch of kids who were a lot like me, and we all knew that it wasn't real and that we would watch other kids. And I'd be like, Do you think these kids actually believe it either? Because I thought a lot of the kids kind of played along because they didn't want to make their parents upset.
Oh, wow.
I just want to change the whole conversation about it. Like, I want Christian parents specifically. And I don't know whether Marla's example is a Christian or a person who considers himself a Christian. I don't know exactly the status of all of my old friends. You know, I don't know if they consider themselves Christians still. But I would say specifically talking to Christians now. Carla, if you're a Christian, I just want us to recapture the definition of the word magic. I want us to stop agreeing with the culture that it's just this big tragedy when your kid suddenly finds out that you were fibbing and now has to just kind of settle for the baking cookies with family and the singing of songs of worship to the Savior and the true story of a virgin who conceived and, you know, God among us. Like, we need to stop allowing ourselves to believe that it's only half of a Christmas experience or only a partial, like, subpar Christmas experience for our kids if they don't get to believe in this other story that's not true.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think a lot of them incorporate it into...
I'm not sure if Carla is going to be able to hear.
You're very far away.
You are very far away.
Sorry. I think a lot of people tie it in together. And I think a lot of people are going off their childhood, and it seems more like tradition to include it. I don't know if they even really think about it at all. They just do it. Sorry, Finley keeps...
She's throwing the phone.
She's throwing the phone.
Using my phone around. But anyways, yeah.
To be fair, it's not just Christmas. Like,
Easter Bunny.
Well, and not...
Tooth Fairy.
I'm not even talking about all the fictional characters either. I'm not talking just the main holidays. I'm talking about, like, all the traditions that stem and what society thinks you need in order to have a happy childhood. Like, when I explain that my kids will be homeschooled, they freak out. And they're like, well, what about festivals and all the things that kids
sports
do?
Games?
What about the sports?
What about prom?
When I say that this baby and Simon are probably going to share a birthday their whole life. Sorry.
Silas just walked in.
He was told to go get on underwear and he Close. Only put on a shirt.
But he looks so pleased with himself. Like he was literally presenting himself just right. now. Like, look, I did what I was told.
Right, but he's Winnie the Poohing it.
Silas, you need the underwear still, buddy.
Yep, you're only half dressed.
Half right, half good job. Do the rest of it.
When I explain things like birthdays, when I say they're probably going to share a birthday their whole life, and yes, it's very close to Christmas. I mean, I have well-meaning strangers who say things like, oh, well, I have a family member whose birthday's in December, and they've said they've always felt gypped. And I feel sad, where I'm like, well, why do we have to put such a big emphasis on everybody getting their own party or having it not be around Christmas time or... You know,
I know what you're talking about. I just walked back into the room and I already know what you're talking about.
Right. Or like the pity kids. Yeah. How are you going to make sure that they get enough presents? And I was like, I'm not.
You're going to have two now that are really close to Christmas.
That's what she just said.
Yeah. Okay.
They're going to share a birthday too, probably for a lot.
Marla.
I can't do it anymore.
Audio wise, things aren't going well for Marla.
She literally just threw her microphone.
She didn't take a nap, did she?
No.
I don't know. She was quiet for a while.
Oh, no. She cried the whole time.
Did she?
Yeah, I went in there twice and was like, hey, you need to go to sleep. And she was like, no! And she yelled the whole time.
Well, I can hold the mic, but it's like it's tangled. Something gets caught on this.
This podcast is a mess.
It's caught. Oh, it's because it's... Okay.
It's rolled for convenience. Do you like the convenience?
Sorry, Carla.
Anyway, Marla doesn't know this part, but like in Dad's Telegram group for his Brain and Comedy Click, we had a conversation with the Catholic.
Put her in bed. Yeah, I am.
She's done.
I'll wait till you put her in bed and then come back and I'll tell the story.
Good night, Finley. Oh yeah, we're not good Catholics in this regard.
Good night, Finley. Parting is such sweet.
It's not sorrow.
Sweetness.
I love you, but right now you need a nap.
Carla, if you're one of those who struggles with guilt when your kid needs a nap and then they cry about it and you don't want to leave them in their bed to cry for a little bit, we'll have that conversation on another episode.
But I was one of those parents, if that makes you feel better. Yeah. I'm still kind of one of those parents. I just have a little bit of a thicker skin now.
They need a nap. It is a good and healthy thing to make sure that they go in their bed and sleep for a while. So, anyway, you did hear this conversation that I'm about to talk about, didn't you, Tammy?
I saw the beginnings of it, and I kind of giggled to myself because I don't follow this Catholic tradition.
But you know what?
I didn't even know it was one.
No, you're not thinking about what I'm thinking about because I set it up wrong. Because the conversation was not with one of the Catholics, but it doesn't even matter. It wasn't like I was upset with this person either. But somebody in the Telegram group, who I now realized is not Catholic, I don't think, brought up something, which we will talk about in just a second when Marla comes back.
There's some comfort in that.
Okay. So Finley's now in her bed. And I was just reminding Tabby of a conversation that Marla wouldn't have known about. But just like a week or two ago, we were talking about Christmas and Christmas decorating specifically. And one person in our group was saying like how commercialized Christmas is and how he gets really annoyed with like Christmas songs and Christmas trees and Christmas cards and all of this stuff because he's like, it's just so commercial. You know, people are so
desensitized,
consumer-centric is what I was trying to come up with. And I totally understand that. And I get that direction. Like, I get that perspective. But on the other hand, I don't think that the solution for that is to just go bare and don't put up any decorations and don't have any traditions and don't bake cookies. Don't, like, my solution is include your kids in the magic of Christmas by telling them true things and then making your traditions accordingly. You know, all of the presents had a purpose. There was a symbol behind them. You know, bake your cookies. Tell them that their kids, their friends believe in Santa. You know, you can talk to them about that. If you see a Santa at the mall or whatever, and you want to talk about why he's there and what that could mean, you don't have to avoid the subject. You know, you can even pretend, you know, we're going to have Santa-shaped cookies or we're going to color a Santa picture or whatever. I'm a little creeped out by, like, the pictures of Santa kneeling at the manger.
Yeah, that's just weird.
It seems like it's trying too hard.
That kitsch, is that what it's called?
And, you know, you've seen the things where it's like, what do I do when my child is old enough to know the truth about Santa? Have you seen this?
No.
Oh, and it's like.
Oh, and you, it's like you tell them they now are Santa.
Yes.
Yes.
You tell them, yes, yes, Junior, you're ready to know now. You are old enough now to know the truth. The truth is Santa is real because he's every one of us. Like that kind of
thing. My eyes just rolled clear out of my head.
Oh, sorry, Marla. I turned you down when Finley was crying, and you've been—you were kind of background sounding
That's
there for
okay.
a second. Yes, her eyes rolled. So
they did.
I don't like that route very much. But
I don't know what it is. Besides, I think a lot of fear. I think parents are afraid to do it differently. They're afraid it won't be as magical. They're somehow afraid that just baking cookies in the kitchen without the idea of giving them to Santa or not having him. Like in the house is going to somehow right. diminish things. And it's right. like, you're going to have to just do it.
Right. I don't want us to go to the extreme of saying, oh, we're just going to strip down everything, you know, and not
have
do
Santa
any
decorations.
Traditions. I do want us to make sure we have it in the right place. And so what I told this person on Telegram who was saying, you know, we're so commercial or things are just so, people are so physical. Like, why can't we be more spiritual about things by just having a simple candle burning on Christmas Eve or something. And I don't agree with that.
Unscented.
I've said, I don't necessarily think it's more holy or spiritual to just like, sort of go have the poverty mindset like the monks, you know,
right.
like just don't do anything physical because, and I did not, this is not original with me, but I've heard Rachel Jankovic talk about how we were born in physical bodies for a reason. Mm. And God gave us physical bodies, just like he came down in a physical body so that he could meet us physically where we are. And I think in celebration of that, we can enjoy cookies and we can sing songs and my son is back with pants on.
Oh, backwards.
I see the back of his pants facing me.
That might be a new style, honestly.
But that's a good job. I think his shirt's on backwards too. Thank you for obeying and putting
trendsetter.
There he goes.
And the back is open.
It flies in.
Can't zip it.
It's really perfect.
Oh, he's cute.
I want to bring up the fact that Mandy's house is just to the nines Christmas decorations.
Well.
And I like it.
Well. Talk about this morning, Tabby, when you got
here. I wouldn't expect that.
One of my garlands came down this morning.
One of like 15.
And I put it up 3 times with some 3M hooks till I finally said to Tabby, what did I say? I was like, if it comes down again.
I'm just pulling it down and I'm
pulling
done.
The whole thing down. No, I said, I'm moving it.
Oh, moving it.
I put it up in a different place.
So Mandy doesn't. I don't want to say you don't decorate. Like, she has decorations around her house. But Christmas is Mandy's thing. Like, she wants garland everywhere. Yeah. She has these, like, paper chains up
cute.
In her house.
I
She's
like
got
it.
Wrapping paper around things. Like, on this is her
picture
holiday.
Picture frames.
Yeah.
You will not find pumpkins wreaths. On Thanksgiving. You will not find hearts for Valentine's. But I you see, will find bows.
And I appreciate that. And I even said, I think I told my mom or something. I was like, Mandy's kind of inspired me to do a little bit more in our house because we just have a tree that's like, and maybe a couple picture frames. And
Christmas is the only thing I kind of do as well.
I've got like cheap when it comes things. To that kind of decoration.
Well, because it's about, which she didn't get to because Silas came in, but it's about our motivations.
Yeah.
And so I'm constantly trying to balance this, like, it's my job as the woman to establish the traditions of my house. Mm-hmm. And again, Rachel Jankovic or Becca Merkel, one of them, describes it as we take things like abstracts and turn them into like memories.
Right.
So we take the abstract of Christmas and what our kids actually remember is the baking cookies, the garland all over the house.
You wrap an abstract idea in a physical, into flesh. And so you have to make it taste a certain way and smell a certain way. Their brother, Nate and D. Wilson, also had a really great quote that I've tried to find just now and couldn't find fast enough. But it's all about how Christ came to us as a physical baby and that eventually he died a physical death and then physically raised to life again. And it's our job now as parents to make all of this come to life in our own kids' worlds, in their life. And so I don't have the time to mess with weird fables about Santa. I don't have the time because there's so much magic already built into this holiday that it's my job to give them those senses, to flood their senses with all of these memories that will hopefully eventually make sense with the truth of the Christmas story. So yeah, I don't feel like my kids are gypped at all. And yeah. There's plenty of fun stuff that happens around here, you know, in the month of December.
Well, and it's also the idea of what are we prioritizing? Like, I love that your house looks like Christmas threw up in it. I love that.
I do not decorate for Easter.
I already said all fall decorations.
Right. Yes.
Already covered it. You were looking for your
4th of July. Like, that's because I know my limits and I'm like, I would not enjoy it as much if it was an every other month thing that I was taking stuff down, putting it back up again. But I do know that this is something I can commit to. And then like once in a while baking. Oh, I know what else we do.
I'm gonna say, you don't bake as much as like I do.
I don't bake sweets as much, but we also do a Christmas morning casserole every time. And we use the eggs produced by our parents' chickens. So we go and get mom and dad's eggs, and then I take them home and do like an overnight casserole thing where you leave it in the fridge and then bake it the next morning. And then all of us wear our pajamas to mom and dad's on Christmas morning. Bring the kids and eat the casserole egg thing
and pancakes and
And I was thinking about that. I was like, my kids are not gypped because all of my traditions usually start and end with family. Like, I don't need Santa. Like you said, I've got a lot of other things. Like, we decorate mom and dad's tree for them the day after Thanksgiving when we're there. And so even though that's a Christmas commercial activity, it's done with all the cousins. You know, it's done with grandma and grandpa. And
this is kind of connected to the question of makeup. And I think we talked about this when we were talking about like bikinis a few months ago. Which,
back
by the way,
warm.
I don't necessarily think you should go deck yourself out in a bikini because you need to, context matters.
But use them to decorate for Christmas.
Beauty is a real thing, you know,
and bikinis all over.
God appreciates beauty. God thinks that beauty is beautiful. If God says something is beautiful, then it doesn't matter if we disagree, we're wrong.
Right.
And so
he makes the rules.
Paying, you know, homage to beautiful things is it's an act of worship. And so there are women who are like, no, I need to try to look like a troll because that's the most holy thing to do. And I get where like places in the Bible say that, you know, it's like gold in a pig's snout when basically a sinful woman tries to make herself look beautiful.
Right.
And so I get that there are women who are trying to avoid, you know, vanity. Mm-hmm.
But then you have the Proverbs 31 woman who clothes herself in.
Yes.
Different scarlet. Things.
Different things.
I can remember. I was like, there's a few.
In clothing.
Clothes herself in clothes.
She clothes herself.
She clothes
on.
God love her.
Yeah. And so, there's something to be said about if we have things that we're going to be doing anyway, like getting dressed, if we're going to have to be eating, if we're going to have to be, you know, if we're going to be looking for things that entertain us, we might as well do them to the best of our ability and to God's glory. Hey, Marcy wants you, Tabby.
Yep. She's doing that thing that she's not allowed to do, which is screaming like she's on fire.
Pausing for another disciplinary session.
It'll still happen there.
Okay. It will. So, Simon hit me. Tabby.
Simon hit me.
Probably did.
They can't be left alone today.
At least I called it. That's what I told Marla. At least I said that would not be the last time we paused because it's just been kind of that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, and see the patterns. And they have been riding some emotional roller coasters. Like it's not a good sign when they're like, ooh, it's like, oh no.
Some people are like, oh, it's great that they're getting along. No, like, no.
They're borderline insane and it will crash very soon.
It is a very fine line between like euphoria and despair. Chaos.
I would rather they sit quietly next to each other in like more of a neutral zone. It's like, okay, we'll probably stay neutral. But
you know how the dog whisperer talks about that? Like, calm, submissive. Calm, submissive. Because if they're like, if the dog is like wagging its whole body, he's like, no, do not reward. Do not reward.
Right.
Because
he
they're like
insane.
An edge away from lashing out.
Yeah.
Yes.
From jumping on you.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. He's like,
those are our kids.
You wait for calm. Wait for calm.
When they were running around happy screaming, like playing tag and tackling, it was like, oh no, no, no.
Oh, man. And that's how Mandy knew that there was going to be more pausing.
Yep. Yeah. I can just read it. Like, it's a cyclical thing. But anyway.
Want me to read my thing?
Yeah, sure.
Then we can go off. So this was on Instagram. So she shares her stuff from Twitter and then to her Instagram. Anyway, she said, we can't say the gospel is all we need, but then fold in Santa to Christmas celebrations. We don't need Santa to make Christmas special or significant. All we need is our need for the gospel and the God-man who made our redemption possible. That's pretty significant all by itself. And then I don't think Tabby heard this question, which kind of made me sad, but somebody said, can you please share some Christmas plans that families can do? What are your plans? Like things that you can do as a family. And I just thought.
That doesn't make me sad.
It made me sad.
I think if you're trying to establish some first generational stuff, then.
If she had said, what are some traditions that you have that we could maybe establish? That would make more sense to me. I think it makes me sad just because people are so bad at expressing themselves. Yeah. Like that's just a really
that's kind not of, what she meant to ask.
Kind of a really dumb comment. Yeah. I'm sorry.
She didn't mean to say plans.
What she meant to ask was, right, what are some traditions?
But if you don't even know the word tradition, that's what's sad to me. No. It's like you clearly don't have any.
People are really bad with words. Like the more time I spend online, the more
other people don't get on Google and type in synonyms of plans and try to figure out the word they're thinking of?
No, they don't even know the word synonym. Marla.
Because I don't feel bad. Okay. Because when I had my kids, I had some built-in traditions. But honestly, like the traditions that we've adopted as a small family unit are kind of different. Like we didn't do Advent calendar, and I do that. And ours is technically more of a Jesse tree. So we read the Bible with it every day. We didn't really do that growing up. I never went to my grandparents' house to decorate for Christmas, but that's something my kids get. So there's this weird, like every year ebb and flow of traditions and what stuff might look like. And so I'm okay with somebody asking.
We were always with family. We didn't always necessarily, I don't think, do the same thing all the time.
Well, I want to mention that I'm a big fan of unstructured time, especially when it comes to homeschooling. I'm not as concerned about making sure that we have certain set amounts of quality time as a family because we're just together all the time. And I'm sort of the same when it comes to Christmas traditions too. Mm. Make opportunities for you to just be together.
Yeah.
And then, you know, who knows? We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I also kind of want to slip in here too that if my kids want to pretend some game that involves Santa, I think that that's kind of fun and a great you know, that's a great game that they could play. They pretend to be chefs sometimes. They pretend to be Sonic the Hedgehog.
They pretend to be garbage men.
They pretend to be, that was from the last episode. If you would like to share in my misery on the game Garbage Man, you can go back and listen to that. But they pretend to be Power Rangers and Ninja Turtles and, you know, Bumblebee from Transformers. Mm-hmm. And so Santa can be the same in that regard. If they know he's in the same category with all those other, you know, characters, then yeah, I'm not going to say, You stop that game right now. Stop getting along and playing that you're wrapping presents and, you know, delivering them and saying ho, ho, ho. Mm-hmm. So I think sometimes maybe people just need the permission to be creative or spontaneous instead of like writing out lesson plans for your Christmas week or something
that. Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I would like to say that I would have been a lot more stressed about this, but I've had the Santa talk of like back when Marcy was a baby and we actually saw Santa at Rural King. I didn't know he was going to be there. He just was there. And I mean, why wouldn't he be?
That people outside of this area are going to know. It's a farm store.
Sorry. Yeah, we saw him at a store. Who cares?
We live in a cornfield.
Okay, they sell chickens.
It's kind of important because, it was not the store. Like, we weren't going to a mall.
Right.
We weren't going.
But that's what's funny about it is, like, anybody who doesn't know this area, we don't even technically have a farm family, and yet we still go and get things at Rural
King. We were getting dog food.
There's things you need.
We were going.
They've got everything.
Food. This is like a tractor supply farming store. We were going.
I got Caden's or Finley's gummies, her shark gummies, her peach ring gummies for her little beach theme party.
It's wonderful. This was not the place that you would expect to see like a mall Santa kind of thing. Like we walk in and I was like, oh,
right.
And Marcy looks up at me and she goes, why is he here?
Who invited him?
And I said, who is that? And she goes, it's Santa. And I said, sure looks like it. And then I said, do you want to go talk to him? Because he was a very friendly guy. He wanted to talk to all the kids. And she like was too shy and he wouldn't do it. But then she asked me questions the rest of the time. Well, what's he doing here? And I was like, I honestly don't know what he's doing here.
That reminds me too.
He's here for chicken feed.
We took all the kids. Marla, did you go with us when we went to Connor Prairie? I don't think you did. Mm-mm, me and Tabby and Megan and then Tabby's and my mom went. You didn't. And we, so Connor Prairie, once again, if you're not from the area, wouldn't know, but it's like a reenactment.
It's a farm then.
Actually.
A little bit.
It kind of
they
is.
They do farm. It's like an 1820s settlement.
Yeah.
And so
village.
People dress up like in the period and they pretend like they are actually characters from mm-hmm. that time. So when you go, the people introduce themselves to you as fake name, you know, right. Hi, I'm Sally Johnson or whatever. And is that considered lying to your kids? Some people may ask me. No, I would submit to you that it's not because we prepped them ahead of time.
Right.
You know, this is a person who's going to dress up. You can interact with
character.
Them. We introduced ourselves to them. Mm-hmm. They would tell us what their quote name was. Mm-hmm. And then we could ask them questions that actually did have a basis in truth. Like, how do you make those horseshoes that you're making right there? Mm-hmm. Well, I use this, you know, this tool and this hammer and this billows over here. And
yep.
And what about a power drill? Do you use that? And he'll say, oh, you must not be from around here. I've never heard of something like that in my life. You know, that kind of thing.
I love it.
And it's really fun. And it's imaginary. Like when you're encouraging your kids.
It's like Disney World.
Yes.
It's the same. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
When you're using your imagination and the kids are using theirs too, mm-hmm. that can also be an act of worship. We thank God for our ability to pretend, to play, mm-hmm. to use our brains, our minds to come up with stories, you know. Yeah.
Well, then I guess my question would be, because I didn't like shoo her out of his way. I didn't like rush her to the other side of the store. And I didn't immediately be like, that's just a man, Marzi. Don't call him Santa. Like, I just sort of let it be like she was seeing a costume on Halloween.
Right.
But I don't always explain to her on Halloween either. I'm never, right. I don't always say, oh, those are just people in costumes.
Well, but
like,
you
I just
do,
let it go.
But you do though. Like if there's any indication that they don't understand and they're genuinely afraid or they're genuinely thinking about going and getting in a car with somebody who looks like a pretty good friend or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're genuinely giving you signs that they don't understand what's going on, then yes, you absolutely do say to the 3-year-old, it's just a costume.
Yeah.
And so to change that for any reason, including a reason that you think is a good one, because you're trying to present them with the magic of Christmas, is just not responsible. I'm sorry, but it's not responsible to intentionally deceive your child and to keep them believing something that you know isn't true just for your own selfish gratification. Mm-hmm. And it's also not necessary. That was the point. We're over already, but I also think that because it's a holiday special, we can maybe...
And because this has been a hot mess.
We can squeak out a few more minutes.
I don't know if Carla maybe. Is going to feel like it was that messy. Like, we have
she
lived
won't.
A thousand lives in the
we
past.
We have. Too many
Marla,
lives.
Marla, my new baby's actually 2.
Yeah, it's been days.
No. I'm now pregnant. Just kidding.
It's been noisy in here, but I think we've done a pretty good job of having our conversations in between mm-hmm. the chaos. But oh look, here's Silas.
I'm almost.
Yeah, I can still fix it though. It's not really broken.
I also think I hear Marcy about to shriek.
I can fix
Emery.
It, but I need you to give me
it's
just
possible.
A few more minutes because we're almost done having our talk on the radio or on the.
I was gonna say because I didn't tell you guys this, but Tim came in the other day and was like, you know, I just don't feel good about the whole Santa thing. Like, I really think we need to not, because we kind of had a talk about, okay, well, what should we do presence-wise? And Tim just kind of came up with this on his own that he was like, yeah, I don't think we should do Santa. I don't like the idea of lying. And mm-hmm. and I was like, totally kosher. Like,
my
should,
brother.
Oh, I've
should
always
we do...
just put the presents are from mommy and daddy.
Well, we had, so like, I think it was last year we had a bag with gifts in it that I didn't wrap that were from air quote Santa. Mm-hmm. And then we had some from me, but then my mom wrote on hers from Santa. And I said, look, you can't write from Santa on your gifts. And she remembered and she didn't do it this year, but we haven't even had the talk. I haven't had the talk with her and she's probably going to be really sad that we're kind of like not doing Santa. Like we're talking about Santa. Even last night we went to see Tim cause they do a Christmas lights drive-through thing to raise money for the YMCA. And he was there as Santa's elf. And then our friend Seth was dressed up as Santa and he came right. and talked to Caden. Right. But then just earlier when we were here, I said, oh, Caden, you should tell Cammie who we saw. And he was like, we saw Santa. And I said, yeah, it was Uncle Seth dressed up as Santa Claus. And
right.
And I, you know, he was still kind of looking at him in awe because it's somebody dressed in a costume. It's,
right.
It's not necessarily that there's magic. I think they're just kind of like, This is an adult.
Oh, I know.
This is someone wearing
the other thing that you had asked too, because I thought you were going to read the one about please. Oh, okay.
I did read that
the
one.
The very end says something along the lines of don't tell, please let your kids know that there are other kids who still enjoy.
I will not.
No, I totally do. I love it when other parents tell me what to tell my kids. I'm like, sure thing, Sally. I will definitely tell my kids, hey, just so you know, there are some kids in class whose mommies and daddies tell them that Santa is real, even though they know he's not. So they would like it very much if you would not tell your friend the truth that Santa is fake, because they want to keep telling them the not truth that he's real. I'm happy to do that.
I do not believe that those kids are actually delusioned. I think we're
talking about 5 and 6 year, 4 or 5, 6 year old
young,
kids.
Young
sometimes.
Kids, yeah, the young ones.
Because I know
they
that,
do
like,
believe.
I know some people who were definitely in high school, and they're like, "Oh, my parents are so cute. They still write to me from Santa."
No,
I'm like,
they're not talking about high schoolers.
I think my mom was doing that
Tabby,
too.
They are talking about blatantly lying to 3, 4, 5 year old kids. Mm-hmm. And they're like mad that when those kids go to kindergarten, some other kid in their kindergarten class who, quote, early ruins knows the truth is ruining the magic because he was told, quote, early by his parents that Santa isn't real. And I'm like, yes, if you need me to have a conversation with my kids, this is how it's going to go. I'm going to tell them the truth. Your parents, kids, they don't lie to you, but there are kids in your class whose parents do lie to them, and they don't want you to tell your friends the truth. So if it comes up, if your friend says something about Santa, just don't say anything.
Yeah.
Just look at them, stare at them, don't say anything.
And fairly recently, I would think, you know, maybe it's just kind of a conviction thing, but then I started thinking about it. I was like, but they're lying. Like if your child asks you if Santa's real and you cover it up,
right.
Like maybe you've been playing along and you don't ever really say if he's real or not. But then if your child asks you and you say yes, you've lied at that point.
Yeah. Or if you say, look at all those presents that he's been giving you.
Right.
You know, or look at this. People like to put powder on boots and stomp through the house.
Oh, yeah.
To leave snow prints
all kinds
and
of stuff.
And
that's
it's like
way too messy.
That's a lot of work.
You are in willfully deceptive. Again, if you've got kids who are old enough to understand that this is a fun game, if they know deep down it was you. Here's a quick funny story. Cammy lost 2 teeth this week, my 10-year-old. And we've been teasing her about the tooth fairy for years now. Like she doesn't actually believe the tooth fairy. But
we had a conversation just on Monday on the way to Homeschool Helpers about this.
Oh, did she tell you that she caught her father? It was like 11 o'clock at night. And I was like, Luke, I don't even think she's been asleep for that long. And he goes in there anyway and takes forever because for some reason he thinks if he spends extra time in there going real slow that he's not going to wake her up. And so he gets caught red-handed and he goes, oh, you didn't see anything. And like turns and runs out of the room and into our room. And I was like, you got caught. And he was like, totally got caught. So that's sort of the relationship that we
got. But she knew it wasn't. I mean, she knows it's not real. It was just the catching of him that was funny.
It was him teasing her. Again, you can tease a person when they're in on the joke.
Right.
It's like, we know that this tooth fairy isn't real, but we're still going to keep treating you like you're a kid who doesn't know the truth. And we're going to say things like, oh, but you better put the tooth there or the tooth fairy won't come. And she's like, whatever. I know it's you guys. And then we're like, how do you even know? That's crazy. And so, for him to have his arm under her pillow. And she rolls over and goes, hi, Daddy. And he goes, you didn't see anything. And like ran out of the room. It was really funny. So
she had told me that she had lost it like the day before. And she goes,
she didn't get anything.
And she goes, I didn't get a quarter. And I said, did you tell them? And she goes, yeah. And I said, oh, I said, because one time when I was young, I did an experiment and I lost a tooth and didn't tell anybody and didn't get a quarter. And then the next night I told mom and dad and I got a quarter. And I was like, I knew it.
No, she has told us many times. Like we're always involved because she doesn't like to pull her own teeth. So Luke pulls them out. So we always know, but this is probably the fourth time that she has lost a tooth and did not receive a quarter on the first night because we're just that bad at it. We're bad at it.
Well, then there was also the tooth I accidentally swallowed. That was a good time.
So I want to read one more thing, and this is actually courtesy of an account on Facebook that I've read something from before, possibly even this exact poem.
Yes, not on this podcast because it's not old enough, but on Dad's, I'm pretty sure.
It was
this
podcast.
No, we're at a year. We're at a year this month.
It was this podcast. For sure.
I think we posted our first episode on December 23rd.
What? And I specifically,
and we
I
did read have a Christmas name. Episode, remember?
Yeah, but it was about gifts.
All right, so Carla, if you're a longtime listener, you can go back and tell us which episode it was that we talked about Caitlin Shetler poetry. Because I remember giving a disclaimer and saying, I name public pages. If you're a person who's preaching online because you're trying to get people to follow your page and buy your book and whatever else, then I'm going to give you the link that you want so people can go and read your stuff. So Caitlin Shetler poetry on Facebook. And the reason I'm bringing it up again is because I actually know a person, possibly a couple of people, who shared this poem unironically, like it was, like truth. It was, you know, encouraging and edifying for them. Ooh. They even included a hearty amen, and it was supposed to be like a holiday themed.
I'm gonna find poem. It too because I want to read along.
So on the topic of beauty, I just want to mention, I think poetry and music and, you know, praise, those things are legit. I think poems are things that people actually can write and do it well to the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think feminists do that.
Definitely not to the glory of God.
I think that when they, I think a lot of times they throw together like their biggest complaints and gripe sessions and then they just call it poetry as a way to like put a stamp on it.
And then slam poetry so they can whack a podium.
So here's, none of it is capitalized, by the way. So that's what makes it poetry.
Yes.
There's no capitalization.
No commas, periods.
No punctuation. And it goes like this.
It was written on a phone.
Sometimes I wonder if Mary breastfed Jesus, if she cried out when he bit her, or if she sobbed when he would not latch. And sometimes I wonder if this is all too vulgar to ask in a church full of men without milk stains on their shirts or coconut oil on their breasts, preaching from pulpits off limits to the mother of God. But then I think of feeding Jesus, birthing Jesus, the expulsion of blood and smell of sweat, the salt of a mother's tears onto the soft head of the salt of the earth, feeling lonely and tired, hungry, annoyed, overwhelmed, loving. And I think, if the vulgarity of birth is not honestly preached by men who carry power but not burden, who carry privilege but not labor, who carry authority but not submission, then it should not be preached at all. Because the real scandal of the birth of God lies in the cracked nipples of a 14-year-old and not in the sermons of ministers who say women are too delicate to lead. Poems for the resistance.
I don't understand. What I want to ask her is like, what is your point? Maybe I'm just really dumb and I don't understand poetry, but it's like, it was all of that just to say you want women to preach. Is that it? That
yeah. Was, I think that the point was about pulpits that are off limits to women. And it's like, it's not off limits to talk about cracked nipples in church. It's just
it's
that
irrelevant.
It's just that most of the women in church don't want to hear you talk about it either.
Right.
Because we're not as proud of our own bodies as you are. We're mm-hmm. more proud of the season of Christ's coming
right.
than we are proud of the human involvement in
well,
that.
It's not about Mary. Right. It's about Jesus, for crying out loud. So when you talk about all this other stuff, it's like,
right.
it's we irrelevant. All know that. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Right. It's not that it's vulgar. And if not it is really. Vulgar, then you shouldn't be preaching it. So I take issue with the use of the word vulgar like it's suddenly a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not vulgar. And nobody is saying that all of the blood, sweat, and tears that Mary, you know, endured are off limits to be spoken about.
Mm-hmm. No, in fact, there's like songs about Mary.
Yeah,
and
there are.
And prayers
she's talking,
for Mary.
No. She's not talking about Mary. She's talking about specifically birth, breastfeeding, and other mm-hmm. things that feminists are trying to make like this super important thing.
Right, that's my point. Is what is her point? Like, is she just talking about that we don't say yay, you're breastfeeding? Like, it's not relevant.
She's talking, yes. She's basically the kind of girl who says things like, I'm not allowed to talk about my period when I'm in school, when I'm in class with my teachers. And it's like, that's because you're the girl who's constantly looking for attention. The other women in class want you to stop talking about it too. Like,
right, because most of the time what you're saying about it is not really necessary.
It's a shock comic, basically. And this is what I wanted to bring up. I got a degree in writing. So I know what it's like to be in a classroom full of people who think they can just take really terrible manuscripts, call themselves writers, and suddenly make the manuscript better. And I know what it's like to be in sales with somebody who thinks that all they have to do is say, I'm a salesperson, and it's going to make up for the fact that they never make sales because nobody wants what they're selling. Musicians have this issue. Painters and sculptors have this issue. Mm-hmm. They think they can slop some paint on a canvas, and if they just say, oh, you know, it's really avant-garde, that that's going to make it a good painting. And I'm sorry, but talking about cracked nipples is not automatically a good poem just because the white guys at your church don't want to hear it.
Well, mm-hmm. and the thing is, they probably don't care that much, which actually infuriates them. If the men really were like, stop, just stop. Like, she might actually feel a little bit more empowered. The men are probably like, I don't get it.
Yes.
I'm sitting here going, I don't get it. Like, if poetry does not give you a message, basically, if I don't get to the end of the poem and go, oh, wow, I've thought about something. If I get to the end of your poem and I go, okay.
It does have a message. This message is, like Marla said, flesh-centric. It's mm-hmm. self-centered. And so this is kind of like what the guy on Telegram, what our friend was trying to warn against. He's like, if this is where we're going to go with all of our carnal, fleshly, you know, physical-driven traditions, I don't want to have traditions at all. I don't want to have to deal with all of these women who are so obsessed with their physical bodies that it's become an idol. You know, I don't want to have to deal with these men who are so obsessed with buying enough presents for their kids to prove their love for them that they've made that into an idol. You know, they have missed the meaning of Christmas. When we stop talking about the miraculousness of God coming to save us from our sinfulness and we start making it about, oh, the men don't want to hear all of my terrible poetry. It's like, yeah, it's not about you.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and we can't punish everybody else who has the right motivation, who's doing it for the right reasons, and take it all away and say, well, they can't do it right, so nobody's going to do it at all. It's right. Like, well, that's not fair.
Right. Yeah.
Because there are people who are decorating to the glory of God. There are people who are buying gifts for their family to the glory of God.
Right.
And you can't.
Right. And there are.
Not, you shouldn't.
There are poems and songs that have spoken to me, especially after I've given birth. I gave birth to Emery when it was November. November 15 is her birthday. And so it was, you know, 4, 5, 6 weeks away from Christmas. And so I was very newly, still postpartum, and had struggled with depression after my birth of her older brother. And so I was like, basically, it was kind of a celebration for me that I didn't repeat the same horrible postpartum depression I had with the second born. And so it hit me in a whole new way, like, you know, singing mm-hmm. Christmas carols and particularly about newborn Jesus at a time when I had a newborn of my own really did hit me in a different kind of way. But it was, I still would not have read this poem by this lady and gone, oh, that's beautiful. Or that's just so magical because, mm-hmm. because it's feminist garbage and yeah. I don't like it.
I'll just do one thing. So one of my friends said, listening to Mary, Did You Know, and being pregnant about the same time Mary probably was just blows my mind. I know our baby girl's going to be lovely and change some people's lives, but, and I quote, the blind will see. And so she's talking about, you know, what Jesus does, the dumb will speak. When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. And I commented and I was like, I've been pregnant both times in the season of Christmas. And it did hit me different. Cause I was like, oh my gosh, like, I have a baby, but Jesus, like, this is a whole different thing. So when you right. think about the meek and mildness of a tiny newborn,
right?
But then you think of the power this baby has, it just kind of gives you chills. Because you already, I mean, I'll never forget when I had Caden and both of them were C-section. I still felt very empowered, but I felt empowered in a way that this is something that God has given me the ability to do, right. not something that I did on my own.
It is a big difference when you are given a sense of humble, you know, grace. Mm-hmm. If you're inspired toward humility because of the lessons that you're learning from motherhood, then that's
or
great.
Or tears, whatever.
But if you are using your lessons to write poetry for the hashtag poems for the resistance, and you are becoming more and more egotistical, then you're doing it wrong. Like, it's not about you. It's not about Mary. It's not about me and how many years I've breastfed. It's not about whether my pastor in my white church is comfortable saying the word breastfeed. It's not about saying the most offensive thing you can think of, trying to get other people to be shocked, and then saying, See, this is why I do what I do. Because you don't even like to hear me when I say cracked nipples of a 14-year-old. You don't even like that. You think that's vulgar. And it's like, I think you're trying to be vulgar on purpose. And I don't actually think childbirth and breastfeeding is vulgar, which is why I don't like your bad poem. But,
right.
Okay, that's all I got.
That's it. That's good.
I think you're trying to be vulgar, which ironically, you're not actually going far enough. Would you like me to help you?
We're not even going to put an explicit mark on this episode because, you know, saying the word nipple is not vulgar. Just to prove we're not afraid.
We're going to say it again.
Part.
Nipple.
Bye, Carla.
Thank you for joining us for Just Because I Love You Day. You can also find us on MeWe in the group Four Sisters Birth and Motherhood Counseling and on Instagram, Four Sisters One Savior. Those are numerals. We also have an email account, foursistersonesavior@gmail.com. And those are also numerals, not words. Four Sisters One Savior. See you next time.